Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 11, where we see that every believer has a specific gifting by God's Spirit to enhance the body of Christ and to further His kingdom. Through today's study, Pastor Dave preaches a message to provoke our giftings to rise up, be used, and to get in the game. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1.
There's different administrations. There's different energy and power through the person, but it's the same God, which is working all in all. But the manifestation, verse 7, the manifestation of the capital S Spirit is given, here it is again, to every man. What's the purpose? To profit with all. That's good, King James, but the Greek is simply this. It is given unto profiting. It's given unto profiting. The concept is simply, it is given for the common good of others. It's not given for you. So whatever gift Jesus has given to me isn't for me. If I'm an amazing teacher, and my church gets huge, and I start traveling the world, and I get a television ministry, and my Instagram following goes to a few million people, that's not for me. I know we lost it in our culture. We seem to, you look at these guys, and you think, man, it is all about you. Yeah, here it's all about Jesus. It's not all about any person, and if the gifts are being used to glorify the one who the gifts have been given to, which is that person, then they're being used wrong. Gifts are given to be given. Whatever God has given to you and to me is to bless others. I believe both the world and the church. It's not for ourselves. It's not for us to gloat in. It's not for us to want attention over. It's not for any of those things. It's simply to profit, to bless for the common good of those who are exposed to the gift. Okay? That's what the scriptures are teaching to us. It's very important for us to understand these things. That's what the manifestation is for. That's what the shining forth. That's what manifestation means. To make something evident by bringing it to understanding. The exhibition of this person's gift, the bestowment of this person's gift is for the good of others around him or her. That's what it's for. Whatever it is, it's for that. So he says concerning these, for to one, now he's going to start to move into these things, and we'll come back to these opening points because they'll anchor us as we move. But now he says this, for to one is given by the Spirit, verse 8, here's the first of several on tonight's list, the word of wisdom. For some people, the gift that God gives is a gift of the word of wisdom. Okay, let me say a few things. Number one, we don't get to decide on what gifts we get. I think that's huge to establish. You can ask the Lord for certain gifts. There are gifts in this list tonight. I'll tell you when we get to them. We're already on the first, and this is already one of them, that I ask the Lord for often. I rely on the gift of wisdom. I believe that the Holy Spirit grants it to me often. I think it'd be almost impossible to do my job predominantly out of the pulpit without the gift of wisdom. You can ask the Lord for gifts. But it's up to God. He gives as he would, how he would, when he would, to who he would. That's important to see that here. Gifts are given as the Lord desires to give them. He says, to some, it's given the gift of the word of wisdom. That's something that the Lord gives to individuals as he sees fit to. When it says that to us, then, if you're taking notes and wanting to understand here what these things mean, it's speaking of something that is supernatural, supernatural wisdom that is given to us by God for a given situation. It's different than a word of knowledge, which is where we're going to next. Knowledge is more along the lines of information. Wisdom is the right application of that information. Okay? That's what the Proverbs teach to us. You need wisdom if you've got a heart to counsel people. And if you say, well, how do I know if I have a heart to counsel people? Well, do you have kids? If you got kids, you're going to be doing counseling. If you got a kid, maybe not so much. But if you got a few kids living in the house, you're going to need to counsel just them with each other. Okay, there's a need for wisdom and counseling. Listen, let me give it to you this way. Wisdom is the ability to make a right choice. Our world needs wisdom. The church needs wisdom. I think this is a good gift to be after. The gift of wisdom, words of wisdom. It's situational. That's why it's a word. I don't think it's something that is always going on. At least in my own life, I don't take for granted that it is. I'm always asking God for words of wisdom. I ask him for words of wisdom in the pulpit as I'm preaching, as I'm paused between my words that I'm speaking to you. Words of wisdom. Lord, I need right now this ability to make the right choice. I have the information. It's not a lack of information. I need the wisdom to make a right choice. Lord, to know what next turn I make. Do I buy this place? Do I take this job? Do I go after her to be my wife? Or do I accept him to be my husband? Lord, are we to do this next? You understand what I'm saying? I need a word of wisdom. I need the ability from on high to make the next decision. We see this gift. Let me also say this. All these gifts, besides tongues that we'll get to a little bit tonight, we see Jesus exhibiting through the Gospels. He has all of these gifts going on during his earthly ministry. He's the fullness of these gifts. He is wisdom. Isaiah 11, it speaks to us of these things, the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit. Jesus had all of it going on. He occupies wisdom all through the Gospels. We see Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees with this ability and the moment to make the right choice, to speak the right words, to take the right turn. It's constant. We see it in the book of Acts with the apostles, with the deacons. We see it all throughout Scripture. We see it with the leaders in the early church in Acts chapter 6. When the word of God is being multiplied and the church is growing, and all of a sudden there's these complaints against them. Nobody's taking care of our physical needs. And we see them take it to the Lord and they have this word of wisdom. Oh, we have to institute deacons. We need guys in leadership that are filled with the Spirit to do the physical so that we can give ourselves to the spiritual. You say, well, that's no word of wisdom. Well, it is when church has never been done before. That was the beginning of church. God gave them a word of wisdom to have both deacons and both elders. So, you know, you see these things through Scripture. We see the word of wisdom given to Stephen in Acts chapter 7 when he gives this remarkable Bible study before he is stoned. We see it constantly throughout Scriptures. We see Jesus use the gifting of the word of wisdom when his haters think they have him trapped and they come to him and they say, hey, what are we supposed to do here concerning taxes? Thinking they had him caught. If he says one thing, he's in trouble with this group. If he says another thing, he's in trouble with that group. And Jesus magnificently says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and render to God what is God's. You see that? Now they were on the horns of a dilemma, not him. He completely dismissed himself through a word of wisdom in the moment. Now, how this applies to you tonight, well, you let the Holy Spirit show you. Where are you at in your life? What type of Christian are you? Do you just take turns, do the next thing in your life as you think is right, as you think's fit? Or do you look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit for wisdom in the situation to make the right choice? Solomon, wisest man to ever live. The two women come and they say, we're fighting over this baby. Now, one of the ladies rolled over on her baby in her sleep and killed her baby. And she pretended that the other lady's baby was her baby. Now, Solomon at first doesn't know these things, but he knows that one of the women are lying. So they both come. I picture one holding on to the feet and the other one holding on to the arms. And they're pulling on this little baby. And Solomon has a word of wisdom. He says, I got the solution. We'll saw the baby in half. You get one half, you get the other. knowing that it would reveal who the true mother is. The true mother says, forget it. Give her the baby. I'd rather the baby live than her be cut in half. Solomon says, you're the mother. Bingo. Because that's the mother's heart. Now give her the baby. And he was right. That's a word of wisdom. You're not going to see it on TV. You see a bunch of fools. You're not going to see it exhibited out there. This is something that is otherworldly that comes from the Spirit of Jesus. You with me? Secondly, he says, some are given the word of wisdom, and others are given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That is similar but different in that this is speaking, I think, specifically of knowledge that's imparted. It's information. It's facts. There's no way that you could have known that, whoever you are that is using this gift, apart from God's Spirit. It's eerie. It's like my mother used to get me with this one all the time when I was a teenager. I'd come home, and there she'd be, and I almost fell down the stairs. And she'd tell me exactly what I just did. And I'd say, how do you know what I just did? I don't even care if I'm grounded or whatever it would be. I just am more interested in, like, how do you even know these things? And she'd always just have this smirk on her face and say, you'll see one day when you're a father. Trusting that I would walk with the Lord as she walked with the Lord raising us. And she had words of knowledge. God imparted knowledge to her that she would have no other way of knowing apart from his Spirit. This is a divine gift. Thank the Lord for these things. A fact or a piece of information that we couldn't otherwise know unless he revealed them to us. Jesus did these things. Remember in John chapter 4? Woman at the well. He's sitting there striking up conversation. He asks her for a drink. He engages with the Samaritan woman. Should have never had anything to do with her in the natural. And they start to talk. And he talks to her about who she's living with. And she says, wait a minute, what are you saying here? He's saying, well, I know that you've had five husbands and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. And she said, you've rightly spoken. Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet. The Lord there in John 4 exhibited this gift of a word of knowledge. It freaked her out. How do you know these things? You must be a prophet. Well, certainly he was and more than that. See, the Lord can do that. He can give words of knowledge to you guys that are moms and dads, counselors, Bible teachers, ministering out in the world. And it's always so that he can woo and win men's hearts. It's never so that you can be, aha, I knew it, and then beat the person with the information that he gives to you. That's not Jesus-like. And I'll handle that more when I get to discerning of spirits. We see it with Peter in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira in the early church. No one asked them to give any money. They just showed up and one after the other and put on this show of hypocrisy, robbing from the Lord. And Peter challenges both of them one by one. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And they drop dead right there. He exhibits this word of knowledge, this ability to know that they were lying, that in the natural he could never know. I mean, my goodness, all my leadership in this room, isn't it true? We rely on the giftings of the Holy Spirit. There'd be no other way for us to conduct the ministry. I don't care what school you've went to. I don't care what degree you have. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we are in so much trouble. So much trouble. He reveals these things. He reveals these things to us. And it freaks people out. How did you know the Holy Spirit? He continues here. And he says, so, you know, you got the word of wisdom. And again, this is not exhaustive in my presentation to you, nor is it in this list. Giftings of the Holy Spirit, note takers, are found here. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. And I struggle with scholars and Bible teachers who say that even that's exhaustive. I don't believe it is. If you want to tally it all up, you'll come up to somewhere around 20 giftings. I think it's beyond that. I think they're gifting of worship leading and other things that aren't in God's word, it's beyond. I think this is just to give us a foundation and an understanding of how God is working. But I think the gifts of the Spirit are even beyond what we find on these lists in Scripture, if you would, within reason. Thank you, Brother Steve. You've got the gift of encouragement. The rest of the congregation, not so much. So we got the word of wisdom. We've got the word of knowledge. And now he says something that is beautiful here. I love being around people who have this gift. He says, in some he gives the gift of faith. Now this is not saving faith, although that's a gift too. I love to be clear on things that are biblical. It gives me it causes me to have heart flutters, like the butterflies. We complicate things. How does a person get saved? It's a gift. Salvation is a gift of God. So stop barraging a person and beating them over the head and getting frustrated. Unless Jesus opens the eyes of the blind, they can't see. You do better on your knees praying for them every day than trying to come up with all these clever ways to pitch in the gospel. Jesus has to remove the scales off their eyes. Jesus has to soften the hearts. That's how a person is won. Well, Pastor, that sounds awfully Calvinistic. That's fine. I'm still suggesting and believing that you have to respond and exercise your free will, but I am not diminishing that Jesus has to soften the heart. Faith is a gift of God, both at conversion, but this is on top of conversion faith. This is speaking about a supernatural gift that he gives to us of faith if he's asking us to do something beyond the normal realm of faith. It's special faith. It's Jonathan and his arm bearer faith. It's like, hey, let's just go up and see. Let's expose ourselves, the two of us versus the 20-something of them, that garrison of the Philistines up there on the mountaintop. Let's just climb the mountain, and if they say bring it on, we'll brawl. And if they don't, then we won't. But if they say bring it, then we trust that God's in it with us. That's crazy faith. That's crazy faith. That there's something about it. This ability, listen, let me give it to you this way if you're writing things down. This ability then, this gifting of faith to overcome obstacles / or when you need assurance. That's good. God gives to his church, members in the church, giftings of faith in hours of, Lord, I have a difficult obstacle in front of me, this medical emergency. Doctors are saying, and we see it all the time, doctors are saying, we've done everything we could. This is your scenario. It's not going to improve. We think as people who practice medicine, didn't perfect it, we practice it, that this is what you ought to do. And it doesn't go well with our spirit. God gives us a gift of faith. I need this gift that settles my soul and helps me to overcome the obstacle that I'm in. You with me? I need a gift of faith. My wife left me. I'm in this season of despairing, despondency, discouragement. I need a supernatural outpouring of assurance that Jesus is keeping me, that Jesus is keeping my children, that he's going to see me through the storm. That's this type of gift of faith. I love being surrounded by people who have the gift of faith. You know, these are opposite of Sanballat and Tobiah. These are opposite of naysayers. You know, there's something to be said of the spreadsheet people and the analytics and the practical people that we'll get to in a moment. There's something to be said of these guys here, though, on the other extreme, who, like in my instance as a pastor, when I pitch it, they're like, hey, let's do it. Yeah, we don't know. Like, we don't know how God will provide for it, the outreach, the purchase that's going to bless the body, but it's going to bless the body and it glorifies Jesus. Let's just do it. You understand what I'm saying? There are those who have this type of gift. Let me give it to you biblically. Elijah. I've been studying Elijah in my own life. Elijah, there he is on Mount Carmel in the showdown with the prophets, false prophets of Baal. Man, he's by himself, and he goes against not 450, 850. And he destroys them there. He's got this crazy gift of faith where he's even able in the moment to taunt because there's such an assurance that God is with him in the battle. You know, you look at things like Acts chapter 3, one of my favorite stories. The beggar outside of the temple, the gate beautiful, asking for money. No doubt Jesus would have passed by many of times entering that gate himself. No doubt Peter and John and the others would have passed by him so many of times. But on that day, the gift of faith was given. And this guy is asking for money, and Peter and John are on their way to the hour of prayer. And something causes Peter to stop and look at him and say, silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus Christ, there's more than the gift of faith there. There's a lot of gifts in operation there. He says, but in the gift of faith, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And there's this gift of faith that's exhibited. An outpouring of God's spirit. Doing something beyond the normal realm of salvation faith, special faith. Daniel has this gift. Vinny has this gift. A couple of my guys on the board, they've got this gift. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. And then, you know, you need the other guys with their spreadsheets and with their pocket protectors and pushing their glasses up there. You need both. You need both. But these here are precious. Next, he goes to the gifts, Greek, of healings. It's plural. Both are plural. He says he gives the gifts of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith. But he also gives the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. It's not saying that he gives the gift of being a healer, because people walk, if you send in this much money, I'll throw you my sweat rag, and, you know, I got the gift of being the healer. That's not what that says. It says that he gives the gifts of healings. I think that's important to distinguish. God uses, I believe this is speaking of, a Christian to channel a supernatural healing to one who's in need. We see it like crazy with Jesus. We see it in the Gospels. We see it in the book of Acts. We see it in church history. And I believe we see it in churches today. When there is no other explanation for the healing, it's a but God. We don't know. You know, I was just reflecting today, a couple years back, there's an area pastor who I was asked to pray for, one of the Calvary guys, about an hour from Rochester. And he had colon cancer. He had it for years. He had to have surgery. It was the morning of his surgery. He was there. He was in the gown. He had the IV in already. He was ready to be wheeled back. He got wheeled back, apparently, to get ready to go in. Family said goodbye. And about an hour later, he called Pastor Scott out in Finger Lakes, who texted me. And he said, you know, hey, it's so-and-so. And Scott said, how? It's only been an hour or so. He said, you won't believe it. They did one last scan before they cut me open, and my cancer is gone. It's just completely gone. So they discharge me, and I'm on my way out of here. You know, there's these miraculous healings. We see this. We see the gifts of healings. I attribute every healing to Jesus. So whether he wants to use medicine and surgeons or doctors or supernatural things like that, it's the Lord. Certainly we saw these things more so in Scripture than I think that we see today. But nonetheless, healings are had by Jesus through his hands and feet that are us. I'm talking things like physical healings, mental healings, emotional healings. Jesus does it.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.